Welcome to Stout for Christ, a radio ministry of Stout Memorial United Methodist Church in Parkersburg, West Virginia, with our host, Sarah Sisson.
I'm Sarah Sisson, host of Stout for Christ, and we're glad you're listening to our radio show today. Stout for Christ is a ministry of Stout Memorial United Methodist Church located at 3329 Broad Street in Parkersburg, West Virginia. We invite you to become a member of our Stout Church family. We offer two worship services each Sunday, a contemporary worship service at 8:45 and a traditional worship just following this broadcast at 10:45. If you can't join us in person, our services are broadcast live on Facebook and YouTube. Stout for Christ is a ministry meant to help us navigate life and learn more about God's love for all people. Today our topic is When Hope and Peace Are Scarce. And here to help us learn more about this subject is Pastor Helen Oates. Welcome, Helen.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you. Today, friends, as we gather around the Advent wreath, today is the second Sunday of Advent. Last week was the first Sunday, and that was the candle of hope that was lit. But today our candle is the candle of peace. And so as we look at our topic, it came to mind for me when the choir, the chancel choir, and I'm a member of that at Stout Memorial, the chancel choir has been practicing since October for their Christmas cantata. And Mary McDonald, who put together the cantata named Hope Has Dawned, Noel, used a phrase at the very beginning of the music. And it was a phrase that has been resonating with me over these weeks because the time, and her words were, when hope was scarce. And, you know, I think that word scarce is one that we are able to identify with because we live with some scarcity ourselves, or it's one that has so little meaning for us because we have such abundance. So this morning, that's what I want us to reflect upon this sense of hope and adding peace, the candle for today, when hope and peace were scarce. Now, when we began talking about the history that we find in the Old Testament, we find that there is this promise that's given to Abraham that, you know, from him and Sarah will come a great nation. And it seems as though over the centuries and the years, how Israel has struggled with that sense of identifying what it means to be a great nation. In that time of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, you know, as they populated the area, it became this sense of great nation was in terms of when they went into the promised land, in terms of conquering other peoples. So we then have, because other folks, they saw in the promised land, other countries, areas had kings. They then asked God to, make a king or bring forth a king for them. And of course, the first one was Saul, but then came David. So David, as a king, you know, help guide the people of Israel. And certainly the scripture says that he was the apple of God's eye. But human frailties came into play. And the human condition seemed to make David and then his son Solomon, you know, stumble. And we see those accounts in scripture of David overpowering Bathsheba in that account, and then the son Solomon that's born, how Solomon you know, he asks for wisdom, and God grants him great wisdom, but yet in terms of his human frailties, I mean, I don't know how one person, one man, could handle 900 wives and 300 concubines. But, I mean, this is what Solomon did in order to identify and explain how it was that Israel was going to be a great nation. That it was that greatness was defined by power and might and political marriages and those kinds of things versus being the people that God wanted them to be, being the people that God wanted them to love him and him only, and Solomon and all of those wives would bring in their own gods and goddesses, and soon even Solomon was building a temple to a foreign god instead of the God of Israel. So we see what comes into play is that this great nation is defined militarily rather than morally.
I think we see that even today. You know, we hear that phrase, the history repeats itself. And we also, when we think of great nations, we always think of the ones that are strongest, the ones that have the biggest, baddest military and weapons and things like that.
Yeah, and as you, Sarah, you said, you know, it's we're able to see that today, to be able to see what, you know, even Israel has done in terms of trying to expand itself, expand into Gaza, and the catastrophe, I mean, the human loss of life that has been so great that war that went on in terms of Gaza, and to be able to be in that region and just to see crumbled buildings and you know, just the lives of people shattered because of this desire to expand power. You know, it did not necessarily expand Judaism. You know, it wasn't a moral effort in order to help the existing Jews to be more like God's intended people.
Absolutely. So, to tie this back into one of those first words we were talking about, which was scarcity, that's something that the United States is not unfamiliar with. We've experienced that in our past. You know, there are people that experience that today in their everyday lives as well.
And, you know, it made me, when I began to think about scarcity in terms of how we in the United States experienced scarcity on a large scale, was back during World War II. I can remember my mom talking about ration books and how, you know, gasoline, and she even talked in terms of how hosiery, you know, because she was getting out of high school and you know, I guess looking like a high school person, but the hose were that had a seam right up the back of your leg, you know, just how even that, you know, coffee was rationed, just the number of items. And what that meant for, you know, the American people, because the intention was everybody was pulling together in terms of, you know, trying to have enough supply of arms and military might for World War II. So it is a kind of a repeat of this theme of the way in which a time came like, you know, the biblical history, a time came when hope, and peace were scarce. You know, in World War II, they didn't have the media like we do now today, that we can see, as we did during the Vietnam War, that we could see the kinds of horrors that existed because of war, and how then that turned the attitude, you know, towards, why are we going into other countries and trying to make our opinion that opinion.
For some of us younger people that are on social media, we see that too. It's almost like you can't get away from it. We almost call it doom scrolling because you have, you know, 24/7 access to what's happening in the world.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, that phrase is new to me, doom scrolling. Mm-hmm. Hear, see, watch those videos of the way in which, again, it's military might and power versus a moral sense. And, you know, even in our news today, this past week has been conversation after conversation regarding the blowing up of those boats that were supposedly carrying drugs, and how it seemed as though, you know, on that boat there were 11 lives on that boat, and the loss of those lives weren't equaled to what the, you know, the being able to destroy or take out the drugs that were on the boat that they thought might be on the boat. This sense of a time when hope and peace are scarce. You know, it happened in that time for, you know, the Old Testament, and then the prophets came along and tried to straighten out the kings and tell them how to, you know, it's not about all of the rituals and things, but it's about what goes on in the heart. Micah says that we are to love justice and kindness, and to walk humbly, to do justice and love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. So, you know, these prophets, they were the ones that began to lay the foundation of how God was going to come into the world. And, you know, that's why we light these Advent candles, to remind us that we are living in a time when, in the midst of the scarcity of hope and peace, that Christ is the light for us in the darkness in which we find ourselves. But, to go back to your doom scrolling, you know, we can get really caught up in that and feel all of the woe is me, you know, woe is, but we find that we begin to center in on what is mine rather than what is ours. What becomes the collective benefit for the whole is what we need to look for, and instead of just focusing in and on ourselves. This pattern. And so in our time, we need the one who will bring us hope and peace. And, you know, we need to be able to gleam the light that Jesus is for us. We need to be able to move toward being moral with one another, being kind to one another, being treating each other the way that we ourselves want to be treated, you know, instead of might is right, or instead of trying to overpower in order to gain what someone believes is theirs.
Thank you, Helen. We know that this time of year can be a really happy time for many people in our community, but it's also really tough. And can you lead us in a prayer for those who are looking for some of that hope and peace that feels scarce in their life right now? Can we have a prayer for those people?
Oh, certainly, certainly. And, and after our prayer, Sarah, I'd like for us to be able to share some conversation about things that are happening at the church so that we can invite our listeners to those events as well. But, you know, we find that when we look out the window at 5 o'clock or 5:15, it's dark. And, this darkness, some of us have physical and psychological problems because of the length of these days and the darkness of these days. But it is the light. A darkness cannot stand up against light. It has to give in to the light. And that's who Christ is for us. But friends, let us share in prayer. Oh God, in these dark days, these days that seem to come and fill our lives, the days when we think about what we used to have and no longer have, or the days when we miss those loved ones who were special to us, or the days when government programs were shut down and SNAP benefits cut off. Lord, we all have lived through dark days. But we find that even in the valley of the shadow of death, you are with us. Even in these dark times, you are with us. For that is what Emmanuel means, God with us. And so you take us, O God, by the hand, and you continue to lead us as a shepherd would lead the sheep through those valleys into safety and security. And so you will for us as well. Speak to our hearts of hope and peace. A peace that doesn't mean the absence of war, but a peace that means a well-being within our lives. Grant us this peace, we ask, in the powerful name of the one who came to be light to the world, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Helen. As you mentioned, we do have some events coming up at the church. I do want to start with, Helen is in the chancel choir, and they have a cantata coming up.
Yeah, and as I shared, it is entitled Hope is Dawning, or Hope Has Dawned, Noel. And it has just some marvelous words and music in it that reminds us of some of those older hymns that we used to sing at Christmas time. So it's just a a wonderful time for us to gather and just to be swept up in the music, you know, the awe of it that draws us closer into God's presence. And that will be shared on Sunday the 14th. And at the 10:45 service there at Stout Memorial. And remember that we're located on 3329
Broad Street.
Thank you. I was thinking about 34th Street, and I was going to get that confused.
Just down the street from the Y.
Yeah, just people use that word down the street. But when you're at the Y, you have to go up the street in order to get to Stout. But anyway, 3329 Broad Street, 10:45 on Sunday morning of the 14th. And the church would just be glad to have your presence with us that morning.
Absolutely. And along that, we also are very excited to bring back our candlelight service on Christmas Eve, and that will be at 11 p.m. As Helen mentioned, Christ is, you know, the light in the darkness, and we're very excited to have that back on Christmas Eve. And in January, we will be having our registration open to the public for our preschool program.
Yeah, and this preschool program is something that's being reawakened or reborn again within the life of Stout Memorial. And it just is bringing people together to do work, to clean up nurse or preschool room space and everything like that. So it will be an exciting program for us to be engaged on. And if anyone is, I know you said it opens January 1, but we've already had some phone calls. But so we have registration forms that are available if anyone wants to stop by the church and pick up one. But so I just want to mention, in terms of that Christmas Eve service, it is amazing to watch light spread through the congregation and to in a darkened church, and to watch the power of that light as it comes together and becomes the light from the whole group that is shared. And so this year, the church hasn't had an 11 o'clock service for quite some time. And I believe even in our community, in our town, there aren't very many of those 11 o'clock services. But to be able to do something a bit different, we wanted to be able to share communion, carols, and light at the 11 o'clock time on Christmas Eve.
Yes, and you don't have to be Methodist to join us. Come in whatever you're comfortable in. Everybody is welcome to join us. And I know Helen mentioned communion. Everybody is welcome at his table as well.
That's correct. That's how we do it.
That's exactly right. Well, that was a great discussion, and I know that there is someone listening today whose life is touched by your wise words of hope in Christ and love for us all. Thank you, Helen.
Thank you, Sarah.
If you were blessed by this program today and want to know more about how you can become part of the Stout Memorial United Methodist family, tune in to Stout Memorial's Facebook Live worship broadcast just after this program at 10:45 a.m. Send an email to stoutmemorial@gmail.com or attend a worship service in person at 8:45 and 10:45 each Sunday morning. This has been Stout for Christ, a radio ministry of Stout Memorial United Methodist Church, Parkersburg, West Virginia.